Amen. If you are a mother, just stand for a moment while we honor you. Stand for a moment. A tu pies si son madres. All right, give your mamas a round of applause. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You know you are a mom when your feet stick to the kitchen floor and you don't care. You know you're a mom when the kids are fighting and you threaten to lock them in a room together and not let them out until someone's bleeding. You know you're a mom when you can't find your cell phone, so you ask a friend to call you and you run around the house madly following the sound until you locate it downstairs in the laundry basket. You know you are a mom when you spend an entire week wearing sweatpants. You know you're a mom when your idea of making a good day is making it through the day without a child leaking bodily fluids on you. You know your mom when popsicles become a food staple and your favorite television show is a cartoon. You know you're a mom when you're willing to kiss your child's boo-boo regardless where it's at. You know your mom when spit is your number one cleaning agent. I remember those. You got something in your eye there, huh? Okay. You know your mom when you're up each night until 10 p.m. vacuuming, dusting, wiping, washing, drying, loading, unloading, shopping, cooking, driving, flushing, ironing, sweeping, picking up, changing sheets, changing diapers, bathing, helping with homework, paying bills, budgeting, clipping coupons, folding clothes, putting to bed, dragging out of bed, brushing, chasing, buckling, feeding them not you, plus swinging, playing baseball, bike riding, pushing trucks, cuddling dolls, rollerblading, football, catch, bubbles, sprinkler slides, nature walks. I'm not going to even say anymore. You know your mom when you do a whole lot of stuff. Now, these are things that your mom would never say. How on earth can you see the TV sitting back so far? Mom would never say that. Things mom would never say, yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. No. Things mom would never say, just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. Things mom would never say, let me smell that shirt. Yep, it's good for another week. Things mom would never say, go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed him and walk him every single day. Things mom would never say, well, if Timmy's mom says it's okay, then that's good enough for me. Yeah, I never got that one. Things mom would never say, the curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. Things mom would never say, I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. And things mom would never say, don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. Amen. We want to thank God for our mothers. And today I want to talk about a tale of two moms. And I want to look at Romans 13:7. First of all, it says, pay to all who is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. And I believe today we want to honor our mothers. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for those who have poured into our lives. We thank you for moms that are here, moms who have gone before us. We thank you for moms that were to be. We thank you for the challenges. We thank you for the struggles. We thank you for the triumphs. And we thank you, Lord, just for giving us and blessing us with loving people to be here to support us and to help us along this way. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It says, give respect and honor to whom honor is due. And I want to just say, originally when I started this message, I originally started it with the idea of thinking of looking at a text in 1 Kings 3 when Solomon was dealing with these two mothers. And Solomon was sitting there judging, and probably one of the hardest cases he had to judge that really showed the wisdom of Solomon as these two mothers came before him with a child. The one woman gave an account to Solomon and said that they were living, these two ladies were living in the same house, and both of them had a child within 3 days of one another. However, as they were sleeping, they woke up and one of the children was dead. And as the woman looked at this dead child, she noticed that that child was not her child. It seems that the other woman, after she realized that her child had died, went and switched the babies. And so Solomon now had to judge this because both of them were saying, no, the live child is mine. The live one is mine. And the wisdom of Solomon said, and he told his guard, he said, take the baby and cut him in half and give half to one and half to the other. And the guard first thought that he was joking. And he's, what are you talking about? He's, take the child and cut him in half. And when the true mother saw what was getting ready to happen, she said, no. Just give him to her. Give him to her. The other mother, on the other hand, said, no, cut him in half, cut him in half. And so Solomon rightly judged and said, that's the true mother. That's the true mother. Because only a true mother would sacrifice greatly to make sure that their child's welfare is taken care of. And so I was going to preach that message and really preach it in the sense of, here's a good mother and here's a bad mother, a tale of two mothers. But the message just wasn't coming to me. It just really wasn't coming to me. Sometimes you kind of start out with an idea and you're trying to really put some meat on them bones, and it just wasn't coming together. And all of a sudden I just started really looking and thinking of this same thing in a different way. A tale of two mothers. First of all, we know the story of the woman, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. If you go there with me for a moment, Proverbs 31, probably one that we talk about a whole lot. Whenever Women's Day comes, this is a very popular theme, the virtuous woman. And it's a great one. It's a beautiful one. Verse 10, Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidservants. And she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She's a hard-working woman. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle, and she extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her all the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And I say that this is the first woman we want to look at. This is supermom. This is superwoman. This is superwife. This is the, I mean, when you really sit down and look at the list of everything that this woman does. Now, I can actually say that, and I see my wife in there. I see my mother in there. I see many of the church women inside there. I see them, but I truthfully can't say that I see all the attributes. And I think if we be honest with ourselves, as if the women are honest with themselves, and even the men, because it talks about the husband in there as well, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll say, well, maybe we can identify with certain characteristics of this virtuous woman, but she is on a different level. She's on a different level. And the reason I'm bringing up the supermom is because sometimes, you know, we have expectations that we need to be that. When the reality is, this is the real mom. Mom, 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 mom. Seriously, I'm on a toilet. Oh, no, none of y'all can identify with that. Okay. I mean, when you really bring it down, it's like we're doing the best we can with what we've got. I remember when we first had when I first had my son, and I'm looking and going, now what? No one gave me a manual to say what we need to do. As parents, we weren't given a manual. What did we do? We did the best we could with what was deposited in us, with what was given to us, with the support that we had, and we did the very best we could. But the reality is, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We didn't perfectly do it. We didn't perfectly live up to the right standards and all that. And so the reality is that this is where it really is. Mothering is tough. Keeping the house, paying the bills, doing the chores, that list that I didn't even finish the list of all the different things that that person had written down, that I know all the mothers could identify with everything I was saying, and I didn't even finish the list. Caring for children with special needs. And more in our society, we see that there are not only is, you know, matter of fact, every child has special needs, right? Because one's different from the other, and you have to treat one different, and you have to mold your parenting to the ways that are effective to another child as well. And then you have all sorts of different things. That's tough. Dealing with loss. There are some mothers that are here who, while you didn't think it could ever happen or would ever happen, are dealing with the struggle that their child is not here, that their child went before them, or because of loss, because of a miscarriage. It's just not easy dealing with those things and being sometimes, even days like this, being reminded of those things. It's tough. It's tough being a single mother. It's tough having the challenge first of all, having two parents is sometimes hard. Well, it is hard. It is not sometimes hard. It's always hard. Having two parents, but imagine one person trying to do the work of two. It's tough. It's tough having Pinterest, Facebook, the photo syndrome. Y'all understand what I mean? You look on Facebook and the mom and the dad, they're out with the kids and everyone's got a smile on their face and you've got that 1 second shot and you're going, wow, look, they're in Europe. Look, they're at Disney World again. Look, they look so happy. Look, we're looking at the reality of our own condition and where we are. And sometimes we can believe that everyone else is doing it right, and somehow we're doing it wrong. It can be tough. The fears and the tears, the fears of what will happen, what can become, the tears of things that have already happened. Last week we talked about making mistakes. Failure is not final. Failure is not fatal. We're learning from those mistakes. And I think that all of us learn through our mistakes. But there's certain fears and certain tears that come with motherhood. And then there's those expectations. Some of which are internal, some of which are external. Some we believe that society is trying to impose on us. Some we impose on ourselves. Believing we have to live up to a certain level, our children have to look a certain way, talk a certain way, achieve a certain score on the test, all these kind of things. And so we've got pressure that they stand out in sports, pressure that they do this, and we got all that pressure on ourselves. And to that I say, you know, you got to give yourself a break. That virtuous woman, that's a great model to have. But I sincerely doubt that any of us are going to reach that level perfectly. And so what can we do as children, as supporters of mothers? First of all, the Lord tells us what to do. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it might go well with you and that you might have a long life on earth. I think he's saying you might have a long life on earth. That means if you're honoring your parents, they won't stamp you out. God tells us honor our parents. How do we honor them? Appreciate their efforts. You honor your father and mother when you are thankful for all that they have done. Amen. So the times like these are very important. It's important. Sometimes we need to be reminded to say thank you. Amen. I know sometimes when my children get gifts, we sometimes they're so wrapped up in the gift, they forget to thank the giver of the gift. And so sometimes we have to remind them and say, hey, make sure you call grandma, make sure you call your aunt, make sure you call your uncle, make sure you call whoever gave you that gift, because sometimes we can get so enamored with the gift that we forget the giver. And so times like this allow us to say thank you and remember to say thank you. It's a beautiful thing to say thank you and to honor those who have poured into our lives. Secondly, accept their authority. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I think it's very important as we look at authority, because we live in a society right now, they want to just get away from any type of authority. But we recognize that our authority first is not, even to the person, our authority first is God. And we're revering God by how we revere our parents. Thirdly, treat them with respect. Now, as I was stating, why are we respecting them? Is because they've done everything right? No. Right? Even as we look at authorities in the government, or let's say police officers, sometimes the police officer could be corrupt as I don't know what. But yet, because we're revering God, because we love God, because we're obeying God, then we not only look at the person, we look at the position that they hold. And we're called to treat them with respect. Sometimes parents act in ways that make them hard for us to respect them. But children, we should still honor our parents and avoid disrespectful speech and actions against them, even when you think they're wrong. Teenagers, even when you think you know they're wrong. I don't know how many times I just knew mom was wrong. And she turned out to be right. We can talk about that later. I got plenty of stories to tell you. And then we honor them by providing for them. It'd be a shame if they've poured all their lives into us, fed us, clothed us, educated us, given us everything that they've given to, and then at their weakest moments, they look around and those who they poured into are not there. Those who they've given to, they can't receive from. You know, God, I love the way God, Jesus, even as he saw that he was getting ready to leave, one of the things that he thought was so necessary was that he makes sure his mother was taken care of. On the cross, he calls John and he says, look, behold your mother. You take care of her like I took care of her. You look to him. I won't be here, but I'm going to make sure you're taken care of even if I'm not going to be here. And that's a great way to honor your parents. Remember, Jesus even talking to those that came questioning him and interrogating him about his traditions, eating with unclean hands, and he started telling them about their traditions that were making the word of God void. And he says, you've made a system and a way that if you give money to the church, you won't be obliged to hold and to give to your parents and take care of your parents, this korban. And he says, what you did was you created a system that makes the word of God null and void by the sake of your tradition. And he called them on a carpet on that. God wants us to honor our parents. The first commandment with a promise. And so I just want to look at these four things, real moms. See, I'm making sure y'all can get to the dinner, or lunch, or wherever you're going today. So I'm going to be real short today, real short. That's my Mother's Day gift to you. Real moms rely on God's grace. They rely on God's grace. Look, you don't have to be the best. You don't have to be the greatest. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the most educated. You don't have to be the perfect, and you're not. None of us are. You are doing the best you can and done the best you can, and that's all God asks of you, to do the very best you can. And this is what the beauty of God's grace is. God's grace fills in those areas. You don't have to say, well, you know, if I would have only done more, because, you know, a lot of times when we see, especially our children, they've gone astray, or they've taken another route. And a lot of times there's that parent guilt. A lot of times there's that mother guilt saying, if I had only put them in a certain school, if I had only made sure that they had gotten sports, if I had only done this or only done that. Well, there are some times where God, and this is the beauty of God's grace, we do the best we can and God fills in the rest. He's going to do that with your children. He did that with you. He's doing that with you. So let go of that guilt. Let go of the burden of that weight that may be on some of you. Rely on God's grace. And then we're given that job to equip others. We are given that job to equip others. And if you still have your children in your home, what's the admonition God gives to you? Train up your child in the way they should go, right? So what's our instruction? Our instruction is to take this word of God, feed it to them. Here's another one. Get them here. Oh, y'all quiet. Get them here. Get them here for Bible study. Get them here for times of instruction. Get them here so that they can surround themselves with others that might help them and push them along. And to the best of your ability, because I know that sometimes they come kicking and screaming, drug them if you have to. I mean, when I mean drug them, I mean drag them. Drag them, not drug them. Drag them here. There are many times, like, I just want to sleep. Get up. Get up. All right, the same way you do in school. They don't always want to get up for school. But what? Get up, we're going. Get up, we're going. Get up, you're going. Equip them, help them to get prepared for that future. And then appreciate that position. The Bible says that the children are a heritage, inheritance from the Lord. The Lord blessed that fruit of the womb is a reward. It's a blessing. And there are many that will say, well, you don't appreciate what you have. Appreciate your position. Appreciate the influence you have. Appreciate the ability, that love. I think I've shared with you a few times. We've already have three that are outside of the house. Three. And I praise my wife. She's taken two children that are not her own blood. I mean, that weren't birthed from her, and raised her as her own. And I'm sure many of you have done the same. You've taken others and brought them into your home. And that's a beautiful position, a beautiful reward to be able to pour into the life of someone else. It's a great responsibility, but it's a very rewarding one, and one that now I'm seeing even more and more as I see that the days are getting a little closer, that we're going to be an empty house in about, Anaya's 10 years old, she's the last one, so in about another 8 years, because the history has been, once you get 18, you're out. That's the history. I plan on keeping that history. I'm planning on keeping that. Amen. And none have come back yet. We've had three out, none yet. None come back yet. But on the flip side, it goes, well, wow, that's going to feel a little different. Some of you have experienced that already. It's a change. It's a difference. And you appreciate what you have. And really, that's what we're saying, appreciate the blessed position you have. Because believe me, there are some who would love to trade places with you. And because you appreciate that position, love. Love. What's the greatest? Love. Love. Love them unconditionally. I mean, and we were talking in Bible class, the Spanish Bible class today, and we're just saying how the fact that, you know, there were some, I'll just tell you plainly, my oldest son, his biological mother, when I gained custody of him at 2 years old, his biological mother has never given him a gift, never sent him any support, never sent a Christmas gift. Never gave it, I mean, we may have gotten a couple phone calls really early on, and after that, just disappeared. She's still alive. I know where she is if I wanted to get her. Never. But my son never lacked that love, because my wife came in, stepped right on in when we were married. I believe he was 5 years old at the time we was married, and he never missed a beat. He was poured with love, shown the way. And so this morning, who's calling from South Korea early this morning to talk to mom? Yeah. Why? That love, when you pour that love in, it's making a deposit. It makes a deposit. And so while you have this great opportunity, pour that love in. And that doesn't mean that there's not going to be times where you're at each other's throats and the kids get to the point where they think that they know it all, just like each and every one of us did. And we're going to show how smart we are, and we're going to show how strong we are, and we're going to stand our ground to our parents and all of that. It happens. It's just a phase of life, a phase in my household that didn't last too long. As my mom smacked it out of me, but one that nevertheless, it's worth everything that you went through. You love them when they're making the right choices. You love them when they make the wrong choices. And you just continue pouring that love, because love covers what? Come on, Bible students. Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Well, God's love covered a multitude of sins. He first can tell us about love because he first demonstrated it to us. That while he saw that we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, he sent his son Jesus Christ to love on us and to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose. Why did he do that? He did that. That whole message is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose for us. And that's good news for us. Because he calls us to do the same thing. He calls us to live, to die of that one life, to be buried, to be changed, to rise, and to walk in this new life. That's what he's doing for us. And he's calling you even this morning. I know it's Mother's Day, and maybe you want to take mom out to go get something to eat or whatever it might be, but this can still be a great day. Your mom will rejoice. All the mothers here will rejoice. They'll be a little late for dinner in order to be able to see one that comes to accept the Lord, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one this morning. If you're here, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, why not come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation? What?